Welcome to another life-changing message from Pastor Vernell J.R. Samuel of Hungry for God Church. For more information, please visit our website, www.h4gchurch.com.
How many of you are hungry for more? Amen. I want you guys to turn with me to the book of Luke, Luke chapter 11. I'm going to go to a few verses. And we are in our series called Behind Closed Doors. How many of you were blessed last week? Anybody spent some time with God last week? Increasing time with the Lord? All right. Last week we uncovered some things about prayer and about relationship with God. And behind closed doors, what we're talking about is prayer, but I'm going to come from a different angle. You know, when most people talk about prayer, I think one of the biggest needs that the church has today is to demystify prayer. To demystify prayer and to make prayer something that's practical. I don't know about you, but when I was growing up, prayer wasn't that enjoyable to me. And statistically, in most churches in America, out of all the meetings and services that are offered in church, prayer is usually the least attended meetings during church. And I believe that it shouldn't be that way. But we need to come to reality with an understanding that God does not want us to do anything that's lifeless, that's ritualistic, that's legalistic, and straight up and down, that's boring to us. Anything that God inspires you to do is life-giving. It's pleasurable. Not in a fake religious way. You really enjoy it. You really want to do something when it's giving you life. If you talk to somebody and they bore you, you don't want to talk to them, do you? I don't know about you, but I don't hold conversations very well with boring people. And I hope you're not boring. See, I don't believe God wants you to do anything that's going to bore you. Boredom is the fruit of religion. Boredom is the fruit of religion. You go to religious places and around religious people, they are boring people. Religious people are boring people. You find a place that's absent of the Spirit of God, it's boring. Anybody ever been to boring churches before? What was missing? God, the Spirit of God. Do you know that one of the signs that you are in God is enthusiasm? Matter of fact, the word enthusiasm in the Greek, if you break it down, you see two words in there, in and thous, or where you get the Greek word God from, theos. In God. One of the signs that you know you're not properly aligned to God is that you lose your enthusiasm. You lose your passion. You lose your joy. That's why when we read Psalm 51, a classic scripture, when David sinned against God and he began to pray, and he said, Lord, cast me not away from your presence and take not your Holy Spirit from me. Restore unto me, what? The joy of my salvation. So David understood that because his joy was being, he was losing his joy and he was losing his enthusiasm, he understood that his salvation was in jeopardy. He understood that he wasn't in God the way he was before by sensing that something was missing from his joy. Come on. That means that when you're correctly aligned to him, is that joy should be the fruit, joy should be the byproduct of a healthy, meaningful relationship with God. Come on. Not just the discipline. Discipline is important. But I found out that it's easier to be disciplined to something when you're excited about it. So I want to help us, if we can, I want to get to the root or the bottom of this issue with prayer that so many Christians battle with, because I believe we should understand by now that prayer is important, right? How many of you know that prayer is important? Prayer is important. Many of us have been taught that prayer is communication with God, right? It's God communicating to us and us communicating to him. And that's important. And I want to get to the how-tos of prayer. But before we get there, I need to show you something really interesting. All right, I'm going to read Luke 11, verse 1. You got it? All right. Luke 11, verse 1 says what? Now it came to pass, as he was praying in a certain place, talking about Jesus, when he ceased, that one of his disciples said to him, Lord, teach us to pray, as John also taught his disciples. Notice the Bible says that as he was praying in a certain place, which means that when Jesus prayed, he had a specific place where he would pray. He prayed habitually. He prayed routinely. It was something that he did so often. But what was interesting about this passage of scripture to me was that the disciples were the ones who asked Jesus to teach them how to pray. That means Jesus, this is Luke 11, so we had 10 chapters prior. Jesus never taught his disciples about prayer until this moment. Which means that although prayer was an important aspect of Jesus' life, he never made them learn about prayer until they were hungry to learn about prayer. He waited for them to ask him. He didn't force them to pray. But what he did was, he lived such an attractional life. When they observed the connection between Jesus spending time in prayer in a certain place and him getting up and doing miracles, signs and wonders of following him, seeing the evidence of the kingdom of God manifesting, they realized that there was a direct connection between Jesus' prayer life or Jesus' prayer activity and the supernatural activity that accompanied him. So when they realized, wait a minute, there's something about you, Jesus, and how you're praying that's different than how John taught his disciples and what we've learned at church through the Pharisees and the religious people. So you don't force people to pray. I say you don't force people to pray. But what's supposed to happen is when you carry the revelation of prayer and you carry the demonstration and the manifestation and the results of prayer, there should be a holy hunger that spawned in the heart of a person that says, I want to experience what you're experiencing. If you commit yourself to prayer, the people around you who don't want prayer, who don't want to know God, will come to you and say, oh, wait, okay, there's something about what you're doing in that certain place. There's something about that certain or secret place that when you go in prayer, something else happens. See, what would drive you into prayer, church, is when you are seeing that there is residual effects of after your prayer time. When you see answers, when you see results, come on, when you see that there are signs and wonders following you, you want to pray. So we don't have to force anybody to come to prayer. All we got to do is show them the results and the evidence that prayer produces. Now watch this. Go to Matthew chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6, verse 5. Now in Luke 11, that's a parallel to this passage of scripture. All right? So in Luke's account, we see that we see when they come and they ask Jesus, teach us how to pray. And then we get a little bit more inside scoop from Matthew's perspective or Matthew's account of the same moment. Now, in Matthew 6, verse 5, this is what Jesus said. And when you pray, you shall not be like the hypocrites. Look at somebody next to you and say, don't be a hypocrite when it comes to prayer. For they love to pray standing in the synagogues and on the corners of the streets, that they may be seen by men. I want you to highlight that if you can. That they may be seen by men. Assuredly, I say to you, they have their reward. But you, when you pray, here's the difference between the religious and those who have a real relationship. But you, when you pray, go into your room, your certain place. And when you have shut your door, pray to your Father who is in the secret place. And your Father who sees in secret will reward you how? How? Openly, publicly. So there was a, when you apply yourself and give yourself over to prayer, the way God teaches us to pray, the Bible says that there will be physical evidence. There will be outward public manifestations around your life that prove that God knows you and you know God. He will reward you openly. I love that. You pray secretly, and God blesses you publicly. I didn't hear this growing up about prayer. I didn't know that. Notice that Jesus, before he actually taught them about how to pray, he taught them about where to pray. Which means that the where is more important than the how. Because if, you see, most people expect to happen for them in public what's only supposed to happen for them in private. Most Christians expect to live off of the presence of God Sunday to Sunday. They expect the bulk of their relationship with God to be sustained by weekly service, weekly worship experiences. Most Christians expect to hear the word of God only when they come to church on Sundays, or to hear from him, to hear his voice. But I want to show you a secret today. Jesus said, when you pray, don't wait to come and open like the hypocrites do. Now, what is the why is he addressing or calling people who pray in public hypocrites? The word hypocrite in the Greek, or the actual connection between a hypocrite and why Jesus is bringing this up, is that hypocrites is actually connected. It was actually the Greek word for an actor. So I don't know if you've ever witnessed a historic stage play where they had people who were act and they played two different roles. And the way that they played two different roles was that one role, they showed their face, and another role, they would pick up a mask and put it on their face and act. Have you ever seen that? So they're one person with the mask on, and then they're a different person when the mask is off. That's where the term hypocrite comes from. That a hypocrite is a person who has two faces. They show themselves to be one way in one area of their life, but then they're another way in a different area of their lives. Jesus said to prevent hypocrisy, and he warned us about hypocrisy when it comes to prayer. It's very important. When you come to God, he is saying, don't be hypocritical. Don't feel like you got to put on a show or a theatrical production to move God. Don't think that you have to pray like the latest prayer warriors. There are a lot of self-proclaimed prayer warriors who will make you feel like if you don't pray like them, you ain't praying right. That if you don't approach God, it's like they got these formulas and these techniques, and it takes you about a year to actually learn how to pray like them. Because they use all these words. And, you know, you need a dictionary to even say, try to repeat what they're saying. But they sound deep, so you want to learn it. You want to pray like that. Now, listen, there are many people who are self-proclaimed prayer warriors who are prayer ignorant. Because there are a lot of things people don't know about prayer. The first thing somebody needs to teach you about prayer is where to pray. Okay? So Jesus says, don't think that you're going to learn how to pray in public. The real place where you learn how to pray is in the secret place. So look at what Jesus says. They want to be seen by men. And I show you that's their reward. So if you only want to receive an applaud because of how well you pray, that's your reward. That's your reward. That's all you're getting out of your prayer life. But the people who mean business, the people who want to bring heaven to earth, the people who want to see signs and wonders, the people who want to be able to speak to cancers and cancers be dissolved out of people's bodies, the people who want to be able to tell a paralytic to pick up their bed and walk, the people that actually want to see supernatural manifestations of God's power in their lives, pray the way Jesus prayed. I want Jesus' results, church. I don't care if you invite me to a prayer conference, and you want me to pray, and you want to hear how impressive I sound when I pray. That's not the goal of prayer. So look at what Jesus said. When you pray, go into your room. And when you have shut your door, why are you going to shut your door? So nobody else sees you. That's why I said behind closed doors. When you get behind closed doors, the Bible says, pray to your Father who is in the secret place. Newsflash. The number one place you find God is not in church. The number one place you find God is in your secret place. And he said, he is there, and he's waiting for you. He is waiting for you in the secret place. If you ever was wondering, where is God? Where can I find God? Where can I meet him? He's in your secret place waiting for you. Nobody can go there for you. Nobody can go there for you. See, you have a room. You have a place. Jesus said, I go to my Father and I prepare a place for you. In my Father's house, there are many mansions. He opened up rooms for us so that every single one of us has a room in God. Every single one of us has a special place in God that no one else can go to but you. Come on. And in that secret place, It's in that special place that God has reserved in his heart for you. That's when the magic happens. That's when the stuff that history records happens. How many of you want to make history with God? Remember Jesus said, John 14:12, the works that I do, you shall do also. And greater works than these shall you do. I really believe we haven't been seeing the greater works yet because I believe we just don't know how to pray like Jesus prayed. In my personal life, you guys have been able to testify of some of the things I was able, by the grace of God, do for you. And I was able to pray and prophesy, and people have seen healings, and you guys seen testimonies. All of that, I look at it as a reward for spending time with God. That if I don't have spend any time with him, I have nothing to offer you. And I want you to see that about your own self. You have nothing to offer the world if you don't spend any time with him. Come on. You can't move heaven. The sons of God are able to bring heaven to earth. He said, when you pray, say, our Father in heaven, holy is your name. Your kingdom come. Those who are able to make the kingdom come are those who have spent time with God in the secret place, and then he rewards them openly. So it seems like there's a shortage of power in the church and a shortage of miracles and a shortage of signs and wonders. Why? Because it's people are spending less and less time with God. We're fighting. There's a direct attack right now on the devotion. Your devotion with God, the enemy is attacking that. Why? Because if he can get you distracted from your devotion, he can keep you powerless. Why? Because we learned last week what power flows or is produced through your relationship with God. Prayer produces power. So your Father is waiting for you in secret. And when you pray, don't use vain repetitions as the heathens do, for they think that they will be heard for their many words. So prayer does not consist of many words. Now watch this. The Lord told me something about, let's look at this really quick. One more verse. Philippians chapter 4. I want to tackle some of the myths about prayer, but I won't do that today. But I want to show you something. Philippians chapter 4, verse 6. Somebody hit this switch, please. It's getting hot in here. Okay. Thank you. So we're taking the mask off, right? God doesn't want us to wear any masks when it comes to prayer. Don't think you got to look like somebody else when you come to God in prayer. I want to stress that. Some people feel discouraged because they hear somebody else pray, and they feel like, I can't pray like that. Anybody ever been there before? I don't sound like Ebony. I don't sound like Shanique. And then we feel like because we don't sound like them, or we'll try to pretend to be like them, and that's putting on that mask. God wants you to come to him authentically. God wants you to come to you as you are, come to him as you are. He wants to see the real you. If you don't know how to pray, it's okay, because he said prayer is not about a lot of words. Do you know that? He's really more interested in just spending time with you. More than he is about hearing your fancy prayers. He just wants to spend some time with you. And he wants you to spend some time with him. So it all comes down to. Let me give you this extra jewel. The word prayer in the Greek is a word called, I got to spell it, but just follow me. Prosukamai. Prosukamai. And the word prosukamai in the Greek means towards an exchange. Towards an exchange. I want you to write that down. It means towards an exchange. Prosukamai, it means to face towards. The last part of it means to exchange. So you want to know something interesting about prayer? Prayer is about you coming to God, and there's a transaction that's going to take place. There is an exchange of desires. When you come to God in prayer and you spend time with Him, what's really happening is that you get to come to God, the real you, the raw you. So that means like the real stuff going on in your life, the real issues that's happening in your world, your real concerns, the real things that are bringing you anxiety and concern and cares. When you come to God with your real heart, not the religious heart. Because we feel like there's some things we can't talk to God about. See, you got to be honest with me, because this is how it's going to work, right? You have to be real. Like, how many of you ever felt like you can't talk to God about some stuff? Like, I'll be honest. Your sex life. That's something you should be able to talk to God about. If you're married, right? And even if you're not married, like, God, I got to get my flesh under control. That's real talk. God, the prayer is real talk with God. Philippians 4, verse 6. Watch this. Be anxious for nothing. But in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. Notice how you alleviate anxiety from your life. Through prayer. When you get anxious and under pressure, like our sister Tashi talked about, and you get under all this stress, it's because you got all this stuff that you're bottling and harboring on the inside of you that you have not given to God. Now watch this. The Bible says in Isaiah that God will give us beauty for ashes. You see, your ashes are the worthless things in your life. God, Bible says that when you come to God in the exchange place of prayer, you can give Him your ashes, and He'll give you beauty for it. I don't know about you. That's not an even exchange. There's nothing worthwhile with ashes. But God says, you give me that stuff that's worth nothing. Give me your anxieties. Give me your worries. Give me your fears in prayer, and I'll give you beauty. He said He'll give us joyful mourning. So when you're mourning and you're sad, you can come to God. God will give you joy. But you got to give that to Him. Don't be afraid to, don't think that you're disrespecting God by bringing Him something like that. God wants you to take everything to Him in prayer. And remember what I said, you spend time with Him, power is the result. So, being anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And watch this, verse 7. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. He didn't say, after you do this, all your problems are going to go away. But when you spend time with Him, the first thing He wants to give you is peace. peace. Everybody say peace. Woo. Why? Because when you got the peace of God, when you have the peace of God, you now have the ability to face the problems in your life. You now have the ability to stand up to the mountains and the giants in your life. You have a sober mindset. See, don't get front. We think, see, there are some things, I think I said this before. There are some things that God wants to do for you, and there's some things God wants to do through you. Right? Grace is what God does for you. Faith is what God does through you. And there are some things that when you pray, God does some things for you. And then there are some times when God now gives you the grace, the power, the peace you need to now begin to do things his way, and he will operate through you. Philippians 2:13 says, it is God that works in you both to will and to do for your good pleasure. So he is doing something in you. Say, God is doing something in me. God is allowing me to do impossible things, amazing things with my life. Yep, and the power that works in you is going to be activated through prayer. Say, I want to pray more. Finally, my brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there is any virtue and if there's anything praiseworthy, meditate or think on these things. Why? Because your prayer life is going to be shaped by your thought life. Your prayer life is going to be shaped by your thought life. God needs you to get your thoughts under control. That's why he needs to give you peace. If you're lazy spiritually, you'll be crazy mentally. If you're lazy spiritually, you'll be crazy mentally. You are able to sustain your peace level, church, in the realm of prayer. Prayer. If you don't pray, you won't have any peace. If you want peace, pray. And this, see, none of this is not what somebody else can do for you. This is not what somebody else can do for you. Yeah, we can pray for you today. We can pray for you, and it will help you a little bit. But it's not until you learn how to discipline yourself to sit down. And I know it's tough today because we got Netflix, we got Facebook, we got Instagram, we got all these apps on our phones. This thing right here is an amazing tool. But if you're not careful, you know, one of the things I started doing, I put things in my phone like reminders and calendars to pop up throughout the day that I should pray. You know, the Bible says pray without ceasing. So one of the things I learned to do is I want this thing right here, this gadget that all of us have and is one of our biggest distractors, you need to now disciple your phones. You need to disciple your phone. You need to train your phone now to be able to support your pursuit of God. Bring it under subjection. Your phones. Okay? And I want you to write this down. What's that verse that says, our God shall supply all of our needs according to what? His riches in glory. Is that over here? I feel like this is close by. Where is that? Verse 19? Thank you. Go to verse 19 of Philippians 4. And my God shall supply some, a few. My God shall supply all your need according to what? Your bank account. His riches in glory. Watch this. When you pray, you access the bank account of God. Prayer allows you to access. That's why Jesus said, when you pray, pray in my name. Pray in my name. Why? Because Jesus saying, I'm giving you authorization to enter into the bank of heaven and make a withdrawal for whatever you need on earth. Jesus said, lay up for yourself treasures in heaven. How many of you know there's wealth in heavenly places? The Bible says that he's blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places. Everything that I said earlier, everything that you see in the natural was first in the spiritual. Everything in the natural was first in the spiritual. Nothing enters the physical, visible realm unless it was first in existence in the spiritual, invisible realm. If you don't understand that, the Bible says faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. God will release miracle money. Money that did not exist before you asked for it, God will allow it to happen. How do we know? He did miracle food. 5 loaves of bread, 2 fish. Jesus prayed and said, Lord, I thank you. Thank you, Lord. They ran out of wine in a wedding. Jesus comes, takes water, transforms it at the request of Mary, his mother. Mary said, whatever he says to do, do it. She prayed because Jesus wasn't intending on doing anything. But because she asked, I don't think you got that. Because she asked, he did something. If she didn't ask, nothing was going to happen. Come on, there are times when God is sitting, waiting for your prayers to put a demand on him to do what he can do in your life. But if you sit tight-lipped, it ain't going to come to you. You got to ask. Come on, the Bible says, ask and you shall receive. Seek and you shall what? Find. Knock. And the door shall be opened. Come on, come on, open up your mouth. Say, Lord, I'm asking and I'm receiving. Lord, I'm seeking and I'm knocking. And I will find that the door is already open for me. Why? Because I get with you behind closed doors. When I'm asking you in the secret place, I know you're already there. And I know that you are opening doors as I get with you behind closed doors. That's when the doors open up for you. That's why you never see, read the Gospels and observe how many times you see Jesus pray a long prayer before he healed anybody. You don't see any account when anybody came to Jesus for healing and Jesus said, well, let me go back and pray tonight and I'll come back and lay hands on you. You won't find it. Why? Because he already prayed in secret. He was ready. He was prepared. I told you, when the crisis comes, it's too late. Because you don't got the peace. You pray in secret long enough that when you get out of that place, you walk and you're confident. Because you know God heard you, God is answering you, God is giving to you what you prayed for in secret. So if you pray for healing, this is what I did. When I used to go in my room and pray, Lord, I want to see healings when I pray for people. I want to see bodies healed. I want to see people delivered. And I prayed and I cried out. I said, Lord, I'm not comfortable with my current power level. So my prayer times, I call it, I'm powering up. So I go in secret and I power up. So that when I stand before someone, I know that I can make a withdrawal. Because he will reward me openly because he will give me what I ask for in the secret place. If you don't want prayer, you don't want power. Prayer releases the power that gives you wealth. And I'm going to end here. We learned in Deuteronomy 8:18, what? Remember the Lord your God, for it is he who gives you what? Everybody say it.
Power.
Everybody say power.
Power.
Remember the Lord your God, for it is he who gives you the power to get wealth. Church, that's more than just money. That's more than just money. Money is included in that, but it's more than money. There are different forms of wealth. And I want you to realize this as we wrap up. You need the power to get the wealth. And God wants to make you wealthy in every area of your life. Come on, I want a church that's wealthy in every aspect of their lives. John said, I wish that you prosper and be in good health even as your soul prospers. And I want you to write this down. So God said to me, I need you to be powerful in every area. Come on, we need power to love our wives. We need power to love our husbands. We need power to do business well. We need power to be good parents. Come on. God wants to empower you in every area of your life, and he wants to make you wealthy in every area of your life. Now watch this. God said to me, wisdom, for example, wisdom is the wealth of the mind. There are different manifestations of wealth. Wealth is not just money. So wisdom, for example, is the wealth of the mind. When you have wisdom, you have a wealthy mind. Proverbs 8:18 tells us, we know Deuteronomy 8:18, but Proverbs 8:18 says about wisdom, with me are riches and honor, enduring wealth and prosperity. When you have wisdom, God is giving you the wealth of the mind. Health is the wealth of the body. Health is the wealth of the body. Physical health is the wealth of the body. And that's why people go around saying what? Health is wealth. Health is wealth. Health is wealth. I don't just want healing. I want health. Healing means you're sick. And you need health. So you undergo a healing so you can get healthy. I'm at a place where God, I don't just want healing, I want health, which means that I don't get sick. Divine health is your portion. Christ heals you so you don't get sick. Did you catch that? So health is the wealth of the body. Say, I will. Walk in divine health this year. Come on. You don't have to listen to what the FDA and the CDC say about this season being the greatest flu season ever. And that you better be careful because you're going to get sick. Whose report shall you believe? I believe the report that says I am healed. That says that the curses have been stripped off of my life. He sent his word and healed me of all my diseases, of all my infirmities. Come on. And so you can't allow the enemy through the media to tell you what your health is going to be like this year. See, when you have mind that's wealthy, you have wisdom. Number two, when you have a body that's wealthy, you have divine health. I want you to make that your prayer for divine health. And number three, authority is the wealth of the Spirit. Authority is the wealth of the Spirit. When you're poor in spirit, you don't have any authority. And the Bible says, pray if you're wealth with the poor in spirit, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of God. God will allow his kingdom to manifest in your life as he begins to empower you to be wealthy in spirit. So that's why James and James and Peter, or Peter and James and John, whoever, walked out of that temple. And the man that was sick asked them for money, and they responded, silver and gold have I none, but that which I do have, I give to you. What he had? Authority. Power to tell that man to get up and walk, who was paralyzed, and he got up and walked. I want you to be wealthy in every area of your life. Come on, this is a season where that wealth transfer we've been talking about is going to come upon you. Come on, you're going to be wealthy in mind. You're going to be wealthy in body. You're going to be wealthy in spirit. You're going to have no lack, no insufficiencies in your life. You're going to be able to speak to situations and they remove. Why? Because you got the authority of heaven backing you up. Why? Because you know how to access the power. Where do we find the power? In the presence. How do we access the presence? In the secret place, behind closed doors. If you don't want that, you got to depend on somebody else's wealth. You got to depend on somebody else's relationship. Depend on somebody else to pray for you. I want you to be rich for yourself. I want you to be wealthy for yourself. I want you to be able, as I think Sister Nephi said this one time, I want you to have your own receipts. In the spirit, that you made some purchases, you made some transactions in the presence of God, that when you spend time with him, and it's not only just praying, when you get in God's presence, you take up this book and you allow God to speak to you through his word, and you just say, Lord, teach me, speak to me, open the eyes of my heart, I want to see you. And you allow God to teach you, you allow God to speak to you through his word. Sometimes when I don't know what to pray, I just open this up. I open the Bible up and I say, Lord, speak to me. And as I spend time with him, he begins to open up the word to me. And now I got some material to pray. Because as I mentioned before, if you read this book and you don't pray it to God, you don't pray this back to him, you don't get what's in here. Why? Because here's how I look at it. This Bible is a menu, and you can read a menu in a restaurant, but that doesn't mean you're getting what's on the menu. You have to make a request. You have to tell the waiter, I need a pina colada, please. I want to order this steak, this lobster. Virgin, please, by the way. You make the order. You make your request known. Just because you want something doesn't mean God is going to give it to you. Let me tell you something. You have to ask specifically, and I'm done. Because if you don't ask specifically what you want, you wouldn't know if God is the one who gave it to you. If you keep it vague and general, the enemy can send a counterfeit to you. You can be like, I didn't order this. That's not my order. Did that ever happen to you? Just to Carol, I love your testimony. Because we prayed, we fasted, we called on the name of the Lord about the situation with her house for months, years. But she never gave up. She never stopped making her requests known. when they said they were going to take their house away and they threatened her, threatened to put her out, she never gave up. She kept asking. She kept seeking. She kept knocking. And now the door has been opened. Woo! Hallelujah! Come on! This is the type of year you're going to see, church. This is the type of year you're going to witness in your life if you're not afraid to go behind closed doors in this season. I'm telling you, God is going to make his presence known to you. You're going to be able to have some receipts and say, look at what I prayed for and look at what I got. I remember when I asked for this and I got this. I remember when I put in a request for that and I got that. Come on. This is the season we're going to see answered prayers like never before. And this is why, this is what you've been missing. This is what you've been missing. This. Prayer in the secret place. Let's all stand.
This concludes another life-changing teaching from Hungry for God Church. For social media updates and more teachings from our pastors and leaders, please visit our site, h4gchurch.com.